Father, as we come to hear your word, we pray you would give us good ears, good hearts and wills to live according to your word and to celebrate your wonderful love for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday I led the service on Kangaroo Island, as I do regularly, and Kangaroo Island has a wonderful bond for me because that's where my ancestors settled in 1837. In 1837, lots of people in Germany, lots of Lutherans, were not happy with what was happening with the government trying to force churches together and causing them to virtually change their faith. And they weren't happy with that, so they said, we're getting out of here. It was illegal to leave, and my great-great-grandparents, Caroline and Johann, everybody's great-great-grandfather was called Johann, but they decided to get out of here together with people like Clemens. Any Clemens descendants here? Just checking if I've got any distant relatives here. Or Kramers, any Kramer descendants? Oh, golly gosh. And Gramp, any Gramp descendants? I've met lots of Gramp descendants. No. And some other names. And Christine Lockwood is one of the people whose ancestors were on the same boat, the Solway. So they left illegally. They left against their parents' will. They left with the police after them. And they came up to Hamburg to catch a boat to America. But believe it or not, the next boat that left, and they couldn't hang around, but the next boat that left was going to Australia, which I guess they'd never heard of, and they boarded that South Australian company boat called the Solway, and they sailed off, and they called in England, a deal I think it was, they called in, and Pastor Carvel, who was in England, came down and led a worship service and prayed for them and blessed them and sent them on their way. They set sail into the great unknown, really, wasn't it? They would have known nothing. They were peasant sort of people. They didn't know anything, except they knew God. They knew God. And so they set sail because they would have rather died with Jesus than lived without him. That's the word we should remember. I'd rather die with Jesus than live without him. So they boarded this boat, and it soon became true because 2 days out from Kangaroo Island, Mrs. Kleeman died, and she was buried on Kangaroo Island. The first thing that the first Lutherans to come to Australia did, or the first group of Lutherans did, was had a funeral service. Not a good beginning. The first Lutheran service on Australian soil at Reeves Point on Kangaroo Island, a funeral. What an amazing beginning. And it kept on going like that. Times were hard. There was no proper water supply, and you've read all this stuff if you've been to Reeves Point. There was no proper food supply. Children were born and often died. And so my great-great-grandparents, one of their children died, and eventually Carolyn died as well of malnutrition. The mother died, and the father went mad and couldn't look after his children and adopted two of them out, one of whom we've never heard of again, and the other changed his name slightly, and we've met up with them. But all through this, they worshipped together. They worshipped together on Kangaroo Island. No pastor, all lay services. But led by each other, probably by Mr. Kleeman, who had a bit more between the ears than the rest of the group did. But no pastor, but always worship. And it says that they worshipped every Sunday and all saints' days. And it said they had an awful lot of saints' days. Yep, always gathering for worship. And they taught their children to gather for worship. And this is what excites me. They passed on their faith. Despite all the adversity and all the reasons you could have for cursing God, they passed on their faith, and their children passed it on, mostly at least, and not all of them, but mostly it was passed on, and it reached us eventually. They weren't just Christian by name, my ancestors at least, they were Christian by their belief. And each time I go to Kangaroo Island to lead worship, I have an opportunity to go to the not the gravestone, but the memorial for my great-great-grandmother and to give thanks for this woman who gave her life, really, so that the faith could be passed on to others. And I always get to that gravestone or that memorial stone, and I feel very, especially because I'm always there on Easter, and I can go and give thanks when it's still dark on Easter morning before I go to the early morning service on the beach in Kangaroo Island. And this last Sunday, I went for a nice walk on the beautiful beach, not right there, but around where I was staying. And I was all by myself on the beach on this beautiful morning, not a bit of breeze, but I was able to say prayers really loud out there and myself to give thanks for what God had done through these brave people, with all their flaws too, I'm sure, but people who passed on their faith to their children and grandchildren and so on. Now, in the gospel today, which Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before the night in which he's betrayed, he's praying for his followers, but he's praying, Lord, not only bless my followers, but bless all the people who will come to faith because my followers will pass on this message. My prayer is not for them alone, he says, for my disciples alone. I pray also for those who will believe through their message. And that's all of us. Isn't it? All of us, ever since then. Jesus came to earth to love us all and to give his life for absolutely every one of us. And this is such good news that you can't keep it to yourself. You have to pass it on. Jesus called these 12 men, and little did they know what would face them. Little did they know what their main role was in life. He loved them and he taught them and he showed them what love really is. He gave his life for them and he rose again to give them eternal life. And then he went. He ascended into heaven. But before he went, he said, This is what I've called you for. You are to go and make disciples of all nations. You're to share this to every place, even on Kangaroo Island. It's got to get to Kangaroo Island and to Australia. Everywhere, everybody has to hear this news. Everybody in your street even has to hear this news. And then he said, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, which you'll hear about a lot more next Sunday, and the Spirit will give you the energy, the strength, the motivation to do all this and the words to do it. And so it was passed on to you, however it came to you, by your parents, by your friends, by a pastor, by a teacher. You know, I know a girl who was born in Germany and she had no Christian background, and she came to Australia as a tourist at 18, and she went all over Australia doing things that no woman of 18 should be doing, like catching rides on trucks and things. And she walked down Flinders Street and into Bethlehem Church and became a Christian. She had to come that far to hear about Jesus. And now she laments to me, or rejoices with me, that I've had a Christian background like most of you have, and she didn't. And so she's the first generation, brought up in Germany, but the first generation of believers again, and now so determined that I will pass this on to my children and my grandchildren. My prayer is for those who will believe through their message. What a prayer. That whenever we're trying to share our faith with somebody, our own children or grandchildren, and they don't want to listen, Jesus is praying for us and for them. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for our mothers and our families. Our families are not perfect. Mine wasn't. And I'm sure yours isn't totally perfect either. But that's the means God uses to pass on love and care and above all the gospel. And he prays that we would be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. The divine family, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are the family that comes to us in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit and leads us to one another, to be united in love, filled with his love. That they may be one, that's his prayer, that they may be one, just like God is one. Sadly, too often we see fractured families and fractured churches. And I'm not going to talk about the churches, just about the families. How do we repair the damage? We could focus on our families, get very focused on our families. And especially if you've come from a family that didn't go too well, you might think, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen in my family. And I'm going to be so focused on my family because family is the cornerstone of society. And we know that society is crumbling badly. We just watch the news and we know. And I said to Paul, our detective friend this morning, I said, you'd know all about this. He said, I see it every day. It's all because of the brokenness of families. So we could put all our efforts into trying to create better families and more loving families and happier families, like the government tries to do. And it's money down the drain usually. We could drive our kids to every sports event and we could help them to learn every musical instrument that it's possible to learn. And we could give them so many good gifts that Emma talked about. And we could give heaps of praise to them. And we could love them and hug them and kiss them. And we could do all those things. And they're all good things and they all need to be done. But that's not the one thing above all others that we're called to do. Is it? The one thing as Christian parents that we're called to do is to pass on the love of Jesus. Not just to love them, but to pass on the love of Jesus. And there's a world of difference. To connect them to Jesus and what he's done for them in on the cross and in the empty tomb. There are so many good gifts to children that we can give to our children. But if we're neglecting the one gift, then the other things sort of become like idols. If we forget Jesus, everything else is like an idol that we regard above Jesus. Even our children then can be kind of an idol, that we idolize our children or we idolize our parents because we see them as the most important rather than Jesus, the true lover of our souls. Only Jesus can love us without end. The Psalms say that my mother and father might neglect me, but you will never let me down. You'll never neglect me. That he's the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. So many people are looking, always looking somewhere, having seven partners or something, not at the same time usually, but maybe even, but always looking for something that only Jesus can give them. Jesus continually here talks about this wonderful unity he's come to create. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. The best way to build unified families is to build them on the one and only true foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and the unity of the triune God. The best way to build loving families is to bring them to Jesus and to the foot of the cross, where they see what real sacrificial love is. Jesus continues to pray for us. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Not only the love, but the lover wants to live inside us. There was a time when families, and I know they were big families, but you'd have a family, every church was filled with a family, wasn't it? The whole blooming pew, and some even had to sit in another pew. Because there were so, and I'm not saying we should go back to those days of having families of however big they want to be, but what a great thing it is to see a family sitting together in worship. That's a goal we should have, to have our family sitting together in worship and our family gathered around the table to hear God's word, however it's delivered, and to pray together as a family. That's still the only sure way to build a united and loving family. So today we honour our mothers, and mine died last year, but we honour our wonderful mothers, but above all we honour God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today we kind of glorify our mothers, but above all, but we're not making idols out of them. Above all, we glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you're a mother and you've done the best you can to pass on this faith to them, then you've done the most important job that you could do. And I'm so thankful for my great-great-grandparents and what they attempted to do. And I know that sometimes our children reject everything that we've tried to do for them. But Jesus never stops loving them, and we never should either. And Jesus never stops praying for them, and neither should we. Jesus' arms are always outstretched to welcome every last child back home. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.